Well, welcome to your announcements. We've got a couple announcements for you again this week. First up, we are hoping to do a baptism service coming up.
Yeah, April 2nd. If you're interested in being baptized, you can grab a staff member or reach out to the office. We'd love to chat with you.
Yeah, we always love having baptisms in the service. Such an exciting time to witness people taking those next steps. So definitely let us know. And next up, can you believe that Easter is almost here?
I know.
It's crazy. And we got some Easter stuff going on, one of which is an Easter egg hunt for the children.
That's right. It's one of our first community Easter egg hunts post-COVID.
Yeah.
So this announcement isn't for the kids. This one is for you guys, our community. If you're interested in getting involved and say you're more of the behind the scenes kind of person, we have spots that you can volunteer for. Yeah. We definitely need you to be part of our Easter egg hunt. If you are an in the action day of kind of person, we have spots for you too. You can send an email to the office. We'd love to hear from you and help you get involved.
Yeah, so like if the people wanna hide the eggs.
Yes, we definitely need people for that.
That would be fun. Awesome, well, I'm sure if you're interested in getting involved and volunteering for that, we'd love to hook you up, so definitely give us an email for that. And you know the drill, for any other information or if you wanna know what's going on, head to our website. That's all we got for you this week. We'll see you next time.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I think that was actually last week's announcement video, and I forgot to... Oh my goodness, Carla, you recognize that? Brownie points to you guys. Nicely done. So maybe just to give you this week's announcements, on top of those things, which are still true, also just a heads up for all of the youth out there. The next couple weeks are spring break, so youth group is going to look a little different. There is no youth this next Wednesday. No youth. And then the week after, we're going to be having an off-site bonfire. And so we have a permission form. You can email us at office@sanishbaptist.org for that. We'd love to get that in touch. But for youth, no Ignite Youth for the next 2 weeks. Oh, well, next week, bonfire. You guys got it. And then next Sunday, for all of the young adults out there, we're going to be having a young adults lunch next Sunday after this service. And so if you want to stick around, join us for the service, and then, sorry, I got a frog in my throat. And then afterwards, we'll head to the fireside room, and we'll have lunch together and be able to connect as young adults. So that's going to be really fun, too. So there you go. Two things for this week's announcements. But otherwise, thanks for being here this morning. We're so glad that you've joined us. I'm going to invite you to stand as we get started. And I am just going to read this call to worship that is from Psalm 16, and it says this. Come, bless the Lord, in whom we find refuge and safety. You are our God. All good things come from you alone. Come, bless the Lord, who gives us a rich inheritance in the heavenly realm and surrounds us with abundance. You are our God. And our lives are in your hands. Come, bless the Lord, who guides us on the path to eternal life, whose presence strengthens and sustains us. You are our God. We will not be shaken. So let's worship our God together. Let's do this. There were walls between us. And there were walls between us. And by the cross you came and broke them down. You broke them down. And there were chains around us. And by your grace we are no longer bound. No longer bound. You called me out of the grave. You called me into the light. You called my name and then my heart. Your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. All the dead are coming back to life. I'm back to life. Hear the song awaken, all creation singing, we're alive, 'cause you're alive. You called me out of the grave. You called me into the light. You called my name and then my heart came alive. Your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens, awakens, awakens me.
What a love. And what a love we found. Death can hold us down. Shout it out. We're alive. It's your life. What a love we found. Death can hold us down. Shout it out.
Give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. You give we pour.
My mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. Body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone.
Let's sing it out. Oh, praise the name.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord our God. Then on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Oh, praise
rising sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face.
Let's sing it out. Oh, praise the name.
Oh, praise.
Praise your name today and forevermore. God, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. We thank you that we join in with you on your mission, that your righteousness covers us, Jesus, that you intercede on our behalf to the Father. God, we just give you glory. We give you praise and honor, and we pray this in your name. Amen. Well, before I hide behind the TV and disappear, kids, you are dismissed, and you can head to the back. Shiloh's back there. She would love to take you to your kids' program.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Kim. Yeah. Well, it is good to be back with you. I was away for a couple of weeks, and as we started the service off and we had all these issues with the tech and everything, it reminded me of the couple weeks that I've been off. I was off trying to help my daughter do some renos in her place. For those of you who've done renos, you know that whenever you start a reno, there are going to be setbacks, there are going to be problems. And so my poor daughter has a vanity with a sink. She's got running water so she can wash her hands. She's got a toilet, functional toilet, which is great. She's got a floor, and she's got the idea of a shower and a bathtub. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that's just what happens, and renos are so, so much fun, but it's really good to be in this room with you this morning, to hear together worshiping our God. What a great time. What a wonderful thing to welcome his presence into this place. He's here with us, but in a special way, as we lift our hearts and our minds and our voices to him and invite him to be God in this space. And so that's what we're doing. A couple just things I want to make mention of. Easter's coming. We're excited about that. We are having a Good Friday service at 10 a.m. here, combined service, both campuses. Good Friday service, and then Easter Sunday. We encourage you to invite some people to that. It's going to be a wonderful celebration. We're looking to do a baptism on April 2nd. There's a few of you who have talked to me a little bit about we're interested, and we're just trying to negotiate how calendars fit and people away and all those kinds of things. So we're hoping to do one on April 2nd. If you are interested in hearing more about that, just reach out to us at office@sanishbaptist.org, and we would love to talk to you about that. I think that's all I need to make mention of. We are in a series called We the Church. And we're trying to learn and discern what that means. How do we live out this idea of the kingdom of God among us? Maybe in gatherings like this. Maybe in gatherings in our homes. Maybe as you go out and you are in the workforce. Maybe as you're sitting on the bleachers, baseball season's coming up, probably soccer too. I'm not a soccer guy, I'm a baseball guy, right, Dan? Baseball's way. Although you like soccer too, don't you? Oh, we love soccer. What am I doing? And you're sitting on the bleachers. How do we be the church? How do we bring the kingdom there as well? What does that really look like? That have this kingdom of God be among us and to live out kind of through us. This idea that, like the early church, was for the world in which they lived. Loved the world in which they lived, reflecting the stance, the expression of their God, of their Savior, Jesus, who loved the world. We know that verse. For the world, but not formed by the world. So it's an interesting little dance we do. We love the world. We're for the world, but we've got to be careful not to be formed by some of the ideologies, some of the thoughts, some of the ways of the world in which we live. As Christina shared last week, the early church was living in community with one another, and it was profound what was taking place there. Powerful. People were selling properties and bringing it to the church to meet the needs, to do the ministry within the church. It was an amazing thing. It was incredibly powerful. This early church was in community where the needs would all of a sudden pop up and these people would respond and help those around them. As you can imagine, as the church grew, those needs only increased. And that's life. We live in a broken, hurting world where life can sometimes hit the fan. And we have needs and we have opportunities to respond. And as Christina shared, she shared that those opening verses in Acts chapter 2 where it talked about this and the people were coming together. And if you haven't listened to the message, I encourage you to do that. She did a fantastic job. This morning, I'm going to continue on this theme a little bit, and frankly, we're going to talk about finances. We're going to talk about money. If you get the email telling you what's coming in the passage, some of you have read that. Maybe that's why some of you stayed at home. I'm looking at you. Some of you are like, don't touch my wallet. I'm not going to literally touch your wallet, but I am going to talk about something that was talked about a lot in Scripture. And our response to the resources that God has blessed us with and how we live that out and how we deal with them in the day-to-day. Now, this is an interesting thing because sometimes Jesus would come along with someone, would have one of those conversations, and he would say to them, listen, you need to sell everything and give it all to the poor. Okay. That sounds inviting. But then there's another time where someone was there, and they had this, it said, this really expensive perfume in the alabaster jar. Do you remember that story? And this person sort of blessed and like broke it open over Jesus and blessed Jesus. And someone said, what's going on? Are you kidding me? This is like a year's worth wages. Just think of all the poor people we could feed. And Jesus didn't go, oh, you're right. Let's gather all that up and figure that out. And so there's some interesting tension in and around this whole thing called finances. Not just that I'm trying to get into your wallet, because I'm not. But what do we do? How do we respond? How do we live a life in the world in which we live? How do we deal with the resources, the finances that we have been blessed with? And how do we live that out? Well, if you got a Bible, smartphone, something with the Bible on it, go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, it's kind of the ending chapter, and as you kind of get there, there's a whole bunch of things that Paul is saying to Timothy, and he's gone on in chapter 5 about a whole bunch of different kinds of relationships, and then as he comes to chapter 6, he's sort of winding things down. You know what it's like in a phone call conversation? Do you ever write letters anymore? I don't know, but you've maybe been talking, and all of a sudden you realize, I got to finish this up, and he sort of, it seems like he's kind of just throwing a whole bunch down, and then all of a sudden he makes this very, very interesting statement. And he says, and there's people, all right, these people that he's been talking to, there's obviously some very specific things that are going on in the church that he's a part of. And this is chapter 6, verse 5. And there's some people who actually think that godliness is a means to financial gain. That somehow, if we just trust Jesus enough, like if we really like follow Jesus properly, like we're gonna do good. Like, there's going to be financial gain in this. And I read that, and I must admit, I just kind of chuckle at that. It's not been my experience. We've heard people teach that that is what it's to be. But if we kind of look at our leader, is that really the trajectory that we're called to be about in this world? What does it really mean? We go down to verse 6. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. This feels like one of those parent talks, doesn't it, when you're younger? You know, aren't you just happy with what you have? But that's kind of what's going on here a little bit. It is. I can't deny that. And I just want us to settle in on those two words. Great gain. What is the great gain? The great gain is contentment. Contentment. Kingdom thinking ideology will lead us to this place of contentment. Paul talked about it in Philippians chapter 4. Remember, he talked about how, listen, I knew what it was to be in need. I knew what it was to have. But I've learned the secret. And the secret is in contentment. And the contentment is in and through Jesus. In and through allowing the kingdom of God to become greater and greater in my life. How do we get that? How do we get that contentment? And one thing I want to just make a comment on is that contentment isn't about looking around and seeing others who are worse off than you and kind of going, oh, yeah, I'm doing all right. We do that, but that's actually not the path to contentment. That actually leads to a path a little bit of some, maybe small a arrogance, small p pride a little bit. That's not truly the path to contentment. What do you base your level of contentment on? How do you do that? How do we find gratitude and be grateful for the position and the season that we're in? Well, Paul would tell us that it's in and through Christ. And it's in any and every situation I will find my contentment in Christ. And I don't think that's a snap of the finger. I think that's an ongoing pursuit of godliness, pursuit of the kingdom, the pursuit of Jesus. As we're going through this, I think it's a work of God. I think it's a work of the Spirit where it teaches us this opportunity, this way of being content. Let's go down verses 7 through 9. It says, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. Whenever I read that verse, let's just stop for a second. Whenever I read this verse, I remember this funny little story. This mom had a mischievous young boy who just was full of energy, like too much energy and all that kind of stuff. And she one day just looked at him and said, listen, I brought you into this world, and I can take you out. That's just what I think of when I read that. That's not what Paul is saying here. Not really, but it sort of feels like it a little. Yeah. Let's try this again. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge into ruin and destruction. I feel like I need to do a dad joke. There's no U-Haul when you pass on. There's no storage lockers, right? We didn't bring anything. We're stewards of this life. We're stewards of what we have, but we're not here for that long. I mean, some of us a little longer, some of us for a while. Man, I've bumped into so many people who have parents in their late 90s and early 100s. Honestly, it's unbelievable. But we're just stewards. We're passing through. That's our deal. And we've got a responsibility to steward what we have, what we've somehow come upon. And Paul says, if we have food and if we have clothing, we will be content. Not always my practice. I find this a challenge. Incredible temptation. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation, a trap, and foolish things start happening, foolish decisions start being made, harmful desires plunges them into ruin and destruction. You know, one of the opportunities I have as a pastor is I sometimes get to meet with people before they get married. And this has happened more than once, and it just freaks me out when I'm meeting with this young couple. And I'll go, oh, so what are you doing for your honeymoon? Wow, we're going... We can't really afford one, so we're putting it on our credit card. Are you kidding me? You can't afford it, but somehow you can put it on your credit card, so you're going to be paying for that honeymoon and creating all kinds of beautiful tension in your new marriage for how many years? And I don't know. I don't think I'm very convincing because they often just go ahead and do it. And my point is, I'm not trying to beat down on newlyweds. This is us. We get ourselves upside down financially. Oh, I can get another credit card. Another one. This one's got, you know, and we can just get upside down so fast. So fast. I need this. I deserve this. Actually, and this is the narrative of a consumer culture that we live in. We are bombarded. You guys know that. You could find the stats on advertising and what it does to us and all, but we're just bombarded, and these things can lead us into ruin and into destruction. And we get behind, and so then we start working. I was talking with someone recently, and this is a conversation I have had hundreds of times over my lifetime, as I talk with people living with a little bit of regret about how hard they worked and the things they sacrificed in order to get ahead, the things they lost out on. They had clothing and they had food, but they wanted more. And they felt like they deserved more. And they would just keep churning and just keep going and rising and running up that accumulation ladder more and more and more, and relationships are lost. And you find yourself having to work just to maintain a certain standard of living. And it can crush us. And it's a load that is too much to bear. And it's a load that equals discontentment and ruin. verse 10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. We often say the love of money is the root of all kinds. It's not the, it's a root, but it is a root of evil. It can do damage to us. So people, some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. That is the struggle. That is the tension. That is the reality in which we live. And this is something that the early church faced as well. We often will share the cool stories. People were selling things and they were giving it and people's needs were being met and all this kind of stuff. And then if you actually keep reading through Acts, have you ever made it to chapter 5? Do the names Ananias and Sapphira mean anything to you? Freak me out. Don't understand it, truly, honestly. Like, I don't fully understand what's going on there, but Ananias and Sapphira were doing what some other people did. They were selling property to help out. There was needs. They were bringing their money, they were bringing their tithes and their offerings to the church to help take care of the needs. They sold their property, but apparently they told the leaders of the church that they were bringing X number of dollars, but it was kind of nudge, nudge, wink, wink between Ananias and Sapphira. We're going to keep some. They don't need to know, kind of thing, right? And I honestly don't get this. But the narrative of the story is that all of a sudden, Ananias passed. Why did you lie? It brought the money. Why did you lie to us, Ananias? Why would you do this? Why would you say one thing and only bring this? And all of a sudden fell dead. His wife came in a little bit later. She fell dead. Now, what am I doing? Why am I bringing this up? Well, I'm bringing it up because it's part of the story. And it's not that I think any of you are going to all of a sudden just fall dead if you don't, I don't know, sell your property and bring a bunch of money to the church. That's not what I'm... But there's something significant about lying to God. Motive matters. It seems like motive matters. Like the why you do what you do. How you do it seems to matter. Like really matter to Ananias and Sapphira. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Verse 11, let's move on from that. Verse 11. But you, man of God, woman of God, person of God, you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I love that. I just love that. Flee. Like, this is significant. Do you hear the urgency in this verse, this call, this warning, the urgency, the desperation that Paul is trying to get through to Timothy? Listen, if you're not careful, this money thing can crush you. This money thing can ruin you if you're not careful. Seek after God. Seek after his kingdom. Seek after the things that are eternal. Like, live for those things is what Paul is calling Timothy to seek after, what Paul is calling us to seek after, what Paul is calling us to share with others to seek after. Not the temporary earthly perspective of things. Not the cultural, financial posture, the pursuit of wealth, more gotta have. You know, that just drives you and sinks its hooks into you and can bring you to ruin. Flee. Recenter yourselves. Set your hearts and your mind on things above. Trust God for your daily needs. For in godliness with contentment is great gain. And this is just challenging stuff. You know, sometimes when I stand up here, it's not like I have all the answers. It's not like I've completely figured this out myself. I wrestle with this stuff. I struggle with it. I hope you do too, actually. I think that's part of the point, is that we're here on earth wrestling with how do we live this out? How do we truly pursue God in the midst of all this? And I think we know from God that we are to pursue eternal things. What's going to live on? What is going to go with us into eternity? Well, God's going to be there, and so are other people. Let's figure out how we can live a life that's invested in that. Goes on, verse 17. Paul uses a pretty strong word. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Remember how I talked about earlier, like contentment, when we do the comparison game, we kind of look over somewhere, I'm doing pretty good when I look at that other person. And I said that could be a little bit of arrogance. I mean, that's what Paul's saying here. We somehow feel good about ourselves because of our position. That's no good. That's just no good. That's not where our hope is to be. Our hope is to be in God, who richly provides everything for us for our enjoyment. So I'm not standing here telling us that we can't enjoy life. I'm not sitting here, standing here. I guess I'm standing. I'm not sitting. I'm standing. Trying to say, hey, you can't have a vacation. Can't have a car. You can't. Listen, when I read the first part of Acts, I get convicted over owning a house. It's okay to own a house. People own houses because other people came to their houses. It's okay. Unless it's not. Unless somehow God has said to us, no, that's actually not okay for whatever reason for you at this particular time and season in life. There's something else I have for you. Oh my goodness. This is not elementary math, ladies and gentlemen. Verse 18, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for this coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. We're being given a mirror right here. We're having a chance to kind of look at it. Do you see generosity? Do you see generosity in who you are? Do you see the good deeds in how you live? I mean, rich in good deeds. Like, that sounds like a priority, doesn't it? The way it's described there. Not a, well, whenever, whatever. Oh, yeah, a couple months ago. No, it seems like it's a pretty present reality of who we're to be. Generous people. Willing to share. And this, he says, is truly life. And in this kind of life is where the contentment piece comes in. Where we begin to become more and more godly. You've probably experienced this, man. Generous people, they're the happiest people on earth. They just really are. The secret Paul was talking about. Jesus said, you find life when you give it away. This is what's going on here. It's learning to invest in eternal things, God and people. Is this what you want? Is this what you're investing your life in? I just want to say it again. There's nothing wrong with being rich. There is no condemnation anywhere here of being rich and being wealthy and having things. It's fine. But in that, be generous. Like, generous. do good, be rich in good deeds. When you see a need, meet the need. Well, that's the government's job. We've got social oh, I heard a murmur. Are you generous? Am I generous? Are we known for that? Are you known for that? Generosity seemed to be a mark of the early church. Why? Because it's who their leader was. It's who their Savior was. Is that true of us? Is it true of us? Last week, at the end of Christina's message, she asked you to pray about it. She didn't give you anything specific to pray about. She just said, would you be willing to pray and ask God, what is he calling you to do and you to be about in your life around the resources that God has given you? And I want to draw us into that same conversation. Do you pray about this stuff? Have you sought God and asked the Spirit of God to show you, maybe to teach you, so that you can learn the secret of godliness? Contentment. Are you willing to do that? That you might be more generous. Have you talked to anyone else about this? Oh, that Anderson and Honecker, they don't know what they're talking about. At least have the conversation with others, because we can get ourselves in our own little head in a certain space. It's so good to have two or three different minds thinking and talking, like in community. Again, it sounds like I'm being a parent. I'm parenting myself, I guess, if that's what you feel like I'm doing. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. There are all kinds of things in this life that we can do with our resources, that we can do, but should we be doing? Like, how do you make a decision on where you're investing your money? And I don't mean, you know, stocks and bonds and insurance and, I don't know, what are all those things, those RSPs? People put money in or are banking on for their retirement. Like, do you pray about that? Like, do you think about that? Like, God, should I? How should I? When should I? Where should I? If I'm tying this up, is this not allowing me to be generous? Like, are you willing to have that conversation with God? I mean, I struggle with this. Carl and I struggles with it. How do we do this? What are your consuming discussions that you're having in your head? How do you make those financial decisions? If it is just because you can, I'm just warning you what Paul would be warning you. You could be leading yourself into some ruin and destruction. And it might not be financial ruin and destruction in the sense of, you know, all of a sudden you're just upside down financially and you got to go bankrupt. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about losing out on the eternal. Losing out on the godliness with contentment is great gain. mirror time. Are you a generous person? Man, I want to be. Are we going to be a generous place? Are we going to be generous people? Let's pray. Dear God, we are trying to figure out how to be your church, and that is a personal and collective call. You have promised to meet our needs. You've promised that if we put you first, if we seek first your kingdom, that you will then provide what we need. We struggle with what need is. We struggle with these things. We live in a first world, beautiful place. We struggle with what does it mean for this enjoyment? What does this mean when we see those needs? God, we need your spirit to work in each of our lives. In the places that we're going to find ourselves in this afternoon, maybe this week, in the relationships, the conversations, God, might we be the people that receive that command to be those who do good, who are rich, rich in good deeds, and are willing to share, are willing to sacrifice, to do without, that others can have needs met. Thank you, God, that you are with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I invite you to stand as we sing Spirit of the Living God.
Spirit of the Living God, Spirit of the Living God, we only want to hear your voice. We're hanging on every word. Spirit of the Living God, Spirit of the Living God, we want to know you more and more. We're hanging on every
Spirit of the Living.
Spirit of the Living God. Spirit of the Living God. We only want to hear your voice. We're hanging on every word. Spirit of the Living God. Spirit of the Living God. We want to know you more and more. We're hanging on every word.
Change.
when you move, you move all our fears. And when you move, you move us to tears. And when you move, you move all our fears. And when you move, you move us to tears. Spirit of God, and when you
Spirit of the living, and Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we only want to hear your voice, we're hanging on every blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to bear your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found. Amen. Well, we're so glad that you've joined us this morning for worship. As always, if you're new here, we would love to connect with you. There's a connect card in the seat in front of you. And if you would like to pray with people, there will be people available here at the front. We would love to spend some time praying for you. And as we go from this place, I just want to read this benediction inspired by Luke 16 and this 1 Timothy passage. And it says this: go now and take hold of the truly abundant life. Shun the eagerness for money, but be rich in good works. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. And may God be your refuge and your fortress. May Christ Jesus free you from all that ensnares you. And may the Holy Spirit provide you with everything for godliness and contentment. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen. Yeah, go in peace and we'll see you next time.